He didn't just copy the word of God. He knew the word of God. He just didn't write it down, but he knew what it said, so much so that he could teach it. He was a great teacher as well, a great leader and a great prophet in that sense. The Bible says in Ezra 8 and verse 10 that Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. And God put it in the heart of the king to send this man back to Jerusalem because, see, the people were waning. They're taking more care of their own houses than they are the house of God. So the law of God needs to come in place. You see, because the house is more than the temple. The house is more than that building that is erected by stone and mortar. The house are the people and his people. Yes, you have the law on how to build the house, but there's also a law for how you should live your lives. And this is what Ezra brought to the people. So that now that you are members of the Lord's family, you and I, the Lord's spiritual household, now is our turn to keep the house built. Like I said, the temple was built in 23 years. 57 years later, Ezra came. Once he reinstituted the laws of God and set up a government according to the law of God, all prescribed by Darius and Artaxerxes, the king at that time. Another 13 years went by before Nehemiah even showed up on the scene to build the walls of Jerusalem and they'd be restored. After they began their work of building the walls, it took another 12 years to complete, where Ezra himself dedicated the walls in Jerusalem. We are that house that is being rebuilt today, saints. Peter says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are the house that is being built today, and we must keep the house built. We must keep the house built, saints, because there are people in this world that are trying to tear it down. They're trying to stop you from being made into lively stones. They're trying to keep the very place of God from being built up. And I'm not talking about this building. You could tear this building down, but the Church of Christ in Brookfield will still exist. We see, and I warn, that as we build this house and keep it built, that we make sure that it's a spiritual house. You know, just a word against our own understanding here. Sometimes I think when we build a church, we have in mind a courthouse. We're not building a courthouse, saints. We're building a safe house. That's a whole lot different than a courthouse. We think we're the judges of the world. And we bring the world here to get judged. And we tell them the wrong way and how they've been messing up. You come into court when you come here. This ain't the courthouse. That's coming in the end. The big courthouse where you stand before God to receive your judgment. But today, this is the safe house. This is where people need to come to be safe until that day when they have to face their God. So I've got seven things I want to tell you about, things that we need to do that I see from Ezra on how we need to keep the house built. The first one is this: to keep the house built, we must be connected to God, not by lineage, but by the truth. Ezra was a skilled scribe. God, to make his people do right a second time around, didn't send just anybody. He sent someone who knew the word of God, who observed the word of God, and who could teach the word of God. That means that we also need to know the word of God, observe the word of God, and learn the word of God. And some of us need to teach it as well. That's what we need to do to keep this house built. And not to be connected by what mama and daddy did. Not to be connected by the traditions of men. Not to be connected by great philosophies or even the creeds that we see in this world. That will not connect us to God. Only the truth will connect us to God. Learning it and observing it, doing what it says, That's what we need to do. And Ezra could do that. Lead Israel in that very thing. The Bible says that when Ezra came to Jerusalem at the beginning of chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, and you excuse me on these names, but I'm going to do my best. After these things, during the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Meroth, the son of Zechariah, the son of Uzi, the son of Buki. That was the south side prophet, Buki. The son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher, well versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king had granted him everything he asked, for the hand of the Lord, his God, was on him. And Ezra was favored by the king, and God moved the king to send him. But you see that Ezra was a teacher of the law. Now, Ezra had some lineage, but God wasn't counting on his lineage to save his people. He was counting on the fact that Ezra knew his word. He observed it, he studied it, and he could teach it. And if we're going to keep the house built, we have to be connected to God by that truth. Later on in chapter 7 of Ezra, at the end of the chapter, verses 27 and 28, the Bible says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of our fathers, who has put it into the king's heart to bring honor to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem in this way, and who has extended his good favor to me before the king and his adversaries and all the king's powerful officials." Ezra knew how blessed he was. He knew that even though the king was the one sending him, it wasn't the king sending him. It was God who had moved the king to send him. And he was praising God for the very fact that I was once in captivity, but now I'm being set free by my very own captors. And my captor isn't telling me to follow his rule or his dominion. He's telling me to do it the way God said do it. And it's free to do that. You know, when God sets you free, that's a mighty blessing indeed. He doesn't set you free to be enslaved by the world again. He doesn't set you free that you would return back to the same kind of person again. When you came up out of that water, it wasn't so that you can do whatever you want to do in the world. When you came up out of that water, it wasn't to keep doing the philosophies of men and following the traditions of men. When you came up out of that water, he set you free to do it God's way. Because that's what freedom is all about. Freedom that we find in God. We have liberty in Jesus Christ. We're slaves when we're doing it any other way. We're servants to a world that will not see us free, but is only trying to find us condemned. So we have to be connected by the truth that the house can remain built. We also, the second thing to keep the house built, must be resolute that it remains built. We have to be resolute. We have to be resolved that this church will remain viable, that this congregation of saints will remain so until Jesus returns, for however long that is. Now, as many can speak here, even in this building today, that there was a time where that looked like it wasn't going to happen. You know, the acorns were being counted and it wasn't too many in the tree. So it looked like we're going to have to move somewhere else. We're going to have to do something else. But God kept you and held you on, didn't he? Until this day, when we seem to be flourishing and blessed beyond belief. Ezra's knowledge of the oracles of God did not come to him miraculously. God didn't touch the head of Ezra and then he knew all there was to know about the will of God. He himself was resolute to learn what God's will was. He himself resolved himself to know what the word and the will of God was. He was determined to do great things for God, determined to observe his will, determined to teach it. And God recognizes that. So he moved the king to send Ezra to his people. And Ezra, the 10th verse says it, for Ezra had devoted himself to the study and the observance of the law of the Lord and to the teaching its decrees and the laws in Israel. Remember what we're told by Paul in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15? Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who can correctly handle the word of truth. We have to be resolute, saints. We have to be resolved. We would say, make every effort to be a workman. Make every effort to know the Bible. Make every effort to know the truth that you are able to correctly handle it. And Ezra was able to do that. And when you are able to correctly handle it, the house will remain built. We must become resolute, saints, to learn the law of God, to obey the law of God, and to teach the law of God. Right. Oh, any teacher can tell you that once you start teaching, your knowledge of the scriptures increases. Because you start studying, you have to know some stuff. And don't have some faithful saints like Karen in your audience who can correct you when you mess up. You better study because she's going to know the answer. You better study because people are going to have questions. You better study. You have to know more than you teach. But that's only when you commit yourself to being a teacher. When you commit yourself to knowing the Bible, to knowing God's will, the house will remain built. Amen. Some houses are torn down so easy because there's no commitment to know God's will. We think just showing up is the commitment that's needed to sustain a church. We think all we got to do is sing a song, give some money, and commune so that the house will remain built. Oh, if that's all that the church is full of in the building, that church will not last. That church will fall, because as soon as the songs ain't good, soon as the giving ain't good, soon as the theme ain't good, people start going somewhere else because they're not committed to knowing the truth. They committed to something else. But if we want the house to remain built, we have to have the commitment to the word of God and be resolute in it so that this church will not only remain, but that it will grow and flourish. The third thing to keep the house built is that we have to revere the work of God. The work of God and what we do here must have some type of reverence in your life. This is not just some ordinary exercise that you're going through. You have to have a reverence for what we're doing here. Much of chapter 7 of Ezra contains the letter of Artaxerxes with many provisions in it. Provisions that the Jews who wanted to return could return to Jerusalem. Ezra was to inquire and to do according to the law of God. This was a decree by the king. Ezra was to take expensive gifts given to them that were instructed by the king, and also to take farewell offerings, free will offerings from the people to Jerusalem. Oh, let me stop right here for a minute. That's what happens when God blesses you. Yeah. Let me talk about this right here, because some of us don't understand this part right here. When God blesses you, he blesses you with more than you can handle. It's a struggle sometimes to deal with the blessings of God because it's too heavy, it's too much, it's too great, and we have difficulty dealing with it. I want you to know that they collected so much from the treasury that when you add it all up, it was the equivalent to about 34 tons of silver and gold that they collected not just from the Israelites who gave freely, but also from their captivity. Those that had them in captivity. Because Artaxerxes says, open up the treasury. Did he not? He said, the whole Trans-Euphrates. You open up the treasury and you give Ezra whatever he wants. No wonder it took 4 months to get there. They were carrying 34 tons of silver and gold. That's what God did. And some of us are looking for the dollar bill that's flowing up. Watch out, Barry. We say, oh, there's my blessing, $10 on the street. No, that God don't bless you like that. If that was your blessing, that $10 bill would knock you down. That $10 bill would be more than you can have. That's a blessing from God. Not that quarter you found on the street, but 34 tons of silver and gold. There's no mistaking where that blessing came from. Only God and God himself made that happen. Then that letter was also provisions that Ezra would set up priests and a temple, that he would provide personnel, and that that personnel were, the king said this, get this, the king says, and they are exempt from taxes. Now notice, let's try to see a government saying that. That wasn't nothing but God telling the king that your priests, your temple personnel, they don't have to pay taxes. They're exempt. Ezra was to administer God's law by setting up his own government. He told him, you do as the law of God says. If you're supposed to have governors, make governors. If you're supposed to have mayors, make mayors. If you're supposed to have this, make that. Whatever it is that your God says. And I know you know, Ezra, because you have been under my tutelage. I have heard you preach the word of God. I know you study it. I know you write it down. I know you observe it. I know you teach it. So do as your God says in Jerusalem. And those, the king even said, not Ezra, the king. The king said, those who do not obey are to be killed. This is Artaxerxes saying this. He said, get a spike and impale them on it. That's what Artaxerxes said. He said, not only that, don't just kill them, banish them from the land. If you think it deserves killing, kill them. If you think it deserves banishing them, banishing them. This is the captor saying that. He says, if their property needs to be confiscated, you have my permission, Ezra, to make it happen. Take their property. He said, and if all that don't work, if you need to put them in prison, you put them in prison. As the law of your God, the God of heaven, Artaxerxes said, commands you to do. And Ezra responds in reverence to that provision. He revered the word of God and praised God that he would put it on the heart of the king for this to happen. And he knew that that is why he went. And we have to have that same reverence as well if we're going to keep the house built. To keep the house built, we also must be aware of the danger that's out there. On this return to Jerusalem, there was danger. Now, first of all, you walk in enemy territory with 34 tons of silver and gold. Now, we see the old West movies, right? And the old stage coaches. And you see, you got the people with the guns in the front and in the back. And what are they doing? They're just looking for people that's going to jump the stagecoach and steal whatever the valuable cargo is. Well, here it is. They can't hide nothing. 34 tons of silver and gold? You have to be aware of the dangers that are out there. In Ezra 8, verses 21 and 22, the Bible says, thereby Ahava, the Ahava canal, I proclaimed a fast. That's what Ezra did. Before they take off on their journey, he had the whole children of Israel take a fast so that we might humble ourselves before God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. See, he knew there was going to be danger on the road. He also knew who to turn to.
That's right.
He could have turned to the king, since he's the one that made the decree, right? He could have said, look, king, you're sending me out here with a lot of money and a lot of people. Can you send your army along with us? Can your army protect us from the evil that's out there?
That's right.
But Ezra knew that answer already. Ain't an army alive that can protect you from evil. Not an army alive. You might be strong in might, but God's might is stronger than that. And whatever army you can raise up, God can raise up a bigger army, a better army, a more equipped army than yours. Oh yeah, Israel was the bad boys in the land for many, many years. People said, oh no, don't mess with Israel. They bad. They got an army and their God is with them. You know, they walked around a building one day 7 times and it fell down. You don't want to mess with them. You want to know they were taking villages with just a couple hundred people against thousands. You don't want to mess with them. But then God raised up another army who took care of that army, the Babylonians. And then the Babylonians thought they were bad. So God raised up another army, the Persian kingdom, and he overtook them, and they thought they were bad. So God raised up a Grecian army and overtook that army. I don't care what kind of army you got. You can have the latest weapons, the latest everything. If you're not with God, God help you. He'll just keep raising up a better army. Because the Greeks thought they were bad too. Alexander the Great. Well, he rose up some Romans. Romans had an empire like you wouldn't believe. Well, he took care of them too, didn't he? Watch out, America. We think we're bad. If we're trusting in what's going on in this world, we better make sure we're with God, because that's where we can't be defeated. That's when we'll be victorious. So here we have Ezra saying, I want all the people to fast, and we're going to pray to our God for a safe journey for our children and our possessions. And Ezra was ashamed, the Bible said, ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from enemies on the road, because we had told the king, he had told the king that the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him. But his great anger is against all who forsake him. So if Ezra was to turn around and ask for help, he would be going against what he just said. His testimony would have been completely different. Wait a minute, Ezra. You just told me God was with you. What do you need me for? That's why I'm sending you, because I believe you that your God is the God and that you're going to be all right. So why do I need to send an army with you? But sometimes we got a little doubt like Ezra, don't we? Sometimes we think we need a little more help. And that's what Ezra was all right, because he stepped out on faith. Even though he had a little bit of doubt, he still prayed to God. Even though he had a little bit of doubt, he still fasted. Even though he had a little doubt, he still took that journey. And God saw them through to the end. And you're the same way. You got somewhere to go to that God is sending you. And you're trying to use the world's ways to protect you, to get you there. Well, I don't care how much of the world you know or are using. That is not what gets you to the destination God sends you. God will protect you and get you there. But you got to do it his way. You can't do it your way. We have a real good habit of doing things our way. And then we wonder why we didn't get there in the end. We wonder why we were defeated. We wonder why we were overtaken. You know, to keep the house built, we have to be aware of those dangers. As we work to keep the house built, there are dangers for us as well. John 17, verses 14 through 16 said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. This is Jesus talking. For they are not of the world anymore, than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus, when he was on that cross, could have called 10,000 angels, could have called a legion to take him down. But he said, nevertheless, not my way, but your way. I'm not going to get the army. I'm just going to do this the way you said. Jesus could have left divine protection over the apostles so that no man could have touched them or harmed them. But that's not how God does it. God says you have to trust in me. I will see you through to the end. The might and power of men will not do it. But if you follow God, you will get there in the end. And we have to be that same way. You got to trust in God. That road looks a little dangerous, but if you know you're supposed to go down it, you go on down that. With your head high, because your God will see you through. Some of us didn't have enough money to make it here today, but we're here today. Didn't have enough food one day, but we still eat. Didn't have clothes to put on our backs, but we still dress, don't we? Because God's people don't beg for bread. They always have a roof over their head. He always looks out for them. And we need to understand that. But recognize the dangers. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:11, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. That's the danger. As we're traveling in this world as aliens and strangers, just like Ezra and the exiles were, that we had to abstain from sinful desires that war against our soul. It was Peter that said Satan is a roaring lion who is seeking who he might devour, going all over this world looking who he can trip up, mess up, and cause to go to hell. In James 1 and 14 and 15, the Bible says, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desires. There's some dangers there. Some of us got to look out for our own evil desires. If your desires are not of God, that's a danger that will tear the house down. And you got to be careful of that. In Philippians 3 and verse 20, Paul makes it plain, our citizenship is not in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. So to keep the house built, you have to be aware of the dangers that are out there. To keep the house built, we have to submit to the pattern that is given for the house as well. There's organization in the house and the family of God. Notice the pattern used by Ezra in chapter 8. He counted, he organized, he delegated, and he set up according to the pattern of God. Amen. The pattern he had studied and observed. In 8 and 15, Ezra noticed something because he stuck with the pattern. You see, back in those days, for temple worship to even happen, not just anybody could go up there and do the worship, right? Come on now, not just anybody could go. Only the Levites were allowed to administer what happened in the temple. You couldn't be a Benjamite and go and handle the sacrifice. If you did, you would be consumed and exist no more. And even the Levites had to stay to the pattern. Because we know about Nadab and Abihu. They went in there with just some strange fire. Yeah, God's got some rules, don't he? Don't come in here with no silly fire. Don't come in here with no play fire. Come in here with God's fire. That's how you come to God, the way he said, come to him. And they came in there with strange fire and bloop, they were no more. So watch out now when you're dealing with God. You have to make sure you submit to the pattern. But Ezra says that I assembled them at the canal that flows from Ahava, and we camped there 3 days. When I checked among the people, here he is checking, making sure everything's all right. We got to check, church. Got to check the people because somebody might be missing. Elders, you need to take account. Somebody's not in. I'm proud of our elders because they're always wondering who wasn't here today. And have we made contact with this person or that person? They're very encouraging in that sense. And we have to check, too, because to make sure that the house remains built, some certain people need to be in place. Certain walls need to be built. He says, but he noticed something. He checked among the people and the priests and found no Levites there. Oh, we done just built the temple and we don't have no Levites? How are we going to have temple work? Well, he only found that out because he stuck with the pattern. He could have said, oh, that's all right. We don't need Levites. We got Judahites. We got Benjamites. And that's when we start using all kind of ites to get our will done. But he saw that there were no Levites there. So he sent for the Levites and they came in number, I want you to know. They came ready to do the will of God because God made that available too. Just like when Abraham and his son went up to the mountain and his son started, you know, catching on. I wonder if he was a little slow. But anyway, they were walking along and he got to noticing after a while, Daddy, I noticed something here. We got wood for the fire. We got everything but a sacrifice. And what did Abraham tell him? Don't worry about it. God will provide. And here God will provide as well, too. If you're going to do it God's way, you're going to stick to his pattern. He's going to make sure you have what you need. You just need to make sure you stick to the pattern. So we have to be similarly diligent. We must know who we are and take note of who is missing. We should seek those who have special talents given by God to keep the house built. We need to consciously look for them. We then ought to set those gifted people to work. That's why it's always been my goal for years now to have elders in this church because that's the pattern. Amen. And God is blessing us for that. That's right. To keep the house built, we must depend on and pray to God. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That's who we've got to pray for. He'll do more than what we ask him for. He will make more available to us than we want. In Ezra 8 and 23, he said, so we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. And they made it there safely, not missing one trinket, not missing one gold coin, not missing one silver article. They went there with all the money. They went there. They left with 34 tons. They arrived with 34 tons. Ezra 8 and 31 says, on the 12th day of the first month, we set out from Ahava Canal to go to Jerusalem. And then they had on us. And he protected us from our enemies and bandits along the way. Our seventh thing we need to do to keep the house built is that we have to praise and worship God. That's why I guess I was so happy this morning to hear your voices lifted up in song. Because nothing makes my heart skip more than to be with a bunch of people who love our God, who praise our God, who recognize where our blessings come from. And if we're going to keep the house built, we're going to have to keep on worshiping Him and Him only. If we're going to keep the house built, we're going to have to keep praising Him and praising Him only. And saints, let's do it with some zeal. I want you to know people recognize folks that are just going through the motions and folks that are happy to be where they're at. And when people come through these doors, you let them know by the sound of your voice and your very actions, you are happy to be here. And if you're not happy to be here, you need to leave. You need to go somewhere else. Don't stay here. You messing things up for me. I don't like stick in the mud. I don't like people who complaining all the time, who are trying to work against you all the time. I want folks that are paddling with me. You know, we're moving ahead. We're moving forward. I'm tired of dealing with a lot of these old issues. I'm ready to keep moving forward for God. Yeah, we got elders now. We need to start doing something else. We need to start increasing our effectiveness into the community that we serve, that God chose for us to be here, to be a light in this community. And we have to find ways to turn that light up. We have to find ways to lift that light up so that all men will be drawn to Him. And everybody who don't have that hand on that lantern, then we must not need you anyway. You go somewhere else. Be happy there. I know that's controversial when I say it, but Lord, I truly mean it. If you can't get to heaven here, you need to go somewhere where you can.
That's right.
Keep that house built. We got to praise and worship God. So when we sing, sing with zeal.
Amen.
Your voice may not be a great voice, you know, and that's all right. Sounds good to God.
Yes,
I want you to know it sounds good to me too. I love to hear Ben and Emma back there singing behind me. That's praise and worship that God really accepts. He looks forward to that. And I love to hear that. So when you hear, make sure you do that. That keeps the house built. So then in Ezra 8, we get towards the end of this sermon. The Bible says, so we arrived in Jerusalem, where we rested 3 days. And on the fourth day in the house of our God, they're able to say that now. They couldn't say that before because, you know, it got tore down. But God made it possible that they were able to travel through foreign lands and rebuild the temple of God. And now they are ready to make sure it stays built, at least for this little while. He says, we weighed out the silver and gold and the sacred articles into the hands of Meroth, son of Uriah, the priest. Eleazar, son of Phinehas, was with him. And so were the Levites, Jozabad, son of Jeshua, and Noadiah, son of Benu. Everything was accounted for by number and weight. And the entire weight was recorded at that time. Then the exiles who had returned from captivity sacrificed burnt offerings to the God of Israel. 12 bulls for all of Israel, 96 rams, 77 male lambs, and as a sin offering, 12 male goats. All this was a burnt offering to the Lord. They also delivered the king's orders to the royal satraps and to the governors of the Trans-Euphrates, who then gave assistance to the people and to the house of God. You see what happens when you do it His way? Don't you get the impression that they were really worshiping that day? God's hand was on them 4 months, no problems. Everything that they left with arrived. And they broke out in song and hymn, broke out with sacrifices like they had not been able to do underneath the rule of the Babylonians and the Persians. And they worshiped their God and they praised Him for being delivered. And they knew they had been delivered because they just came out of captivity. Maybe that's why we don't praise and worship Him. We don't recognize that we've just been saved from captivity. We don't recognize just how great of a blessing it is to be able to praise God the way we do. What do you say, Tony? Ain't nobody killing us.
Right.
We got it too easy sometimes, I think. So God visits these little episodes of struggle in our lives. And all we do is complain to him instead of praying to him and praising him and worshiping him.
Amen.
That we would get through these alien waters and lands. That we would arrive safely one day in his kingdom by his will. There might be someone here this morning that's in that very condition. You're lost in the world. Because you've not done things according to the pattern of God. God is very specific about who his people are and how you become his child. You don't get there by your will. You can't will yourself to be saved. You can't pray yourself to be saved. Prayer came from God's people. And then God accepted that prayer and moved according to it. We talked about it this morning. Your first step to do the will of God. Your first step in helping to keep the house built is to be a member of the house yourself, to be saved. And to be saved, you have to do what God says. No strange fire. Stick to the pattern. So when this church was rebuilt, the church of Christ, we have to do just like they did in those days. God had a pattern and they had to follow it. Solomon built a temple when it was torn down. And Zerubbabel built a temple, he had to stick to the pattern. And God himself tore that temple down, which were made by the hands of men. He decided he was building a spiritual temple. And then that temple was established, it has a pattern as well. And on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, we see the first day of the church of Christ. Men cried out how they could be a part of that work. How they could be saved because they recognized that they were on the outside. They were operating in a courthouse when they wanted to really be in the safe house.
Right.
How do we become a part of that?
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit through the apostles in that day said, repent and be baptized, every one of you.
Yes.
Now, we're pretty much removed from that several hundred years. Just like Ezra was pretty far removed from Solomon's temple. But when Ezra started to rebuild that temple or led Zerubbabel in that, they did it according to God's word.
Amen.
And that's all I can do here this morning is give you God's word. What do you need to do in order to be added to this spiritual household? You need to hear the word of God and you need to believe it. Upon believing it, you need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must be prepared to repent. That means to change from a different pattern, one that is not God's, one that is of the world's, because there's danger out there, and you have to be aware of that. You have to stick to that pattern, that once you're prepared to repent, that you be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's the one part of the plan that the world struggles with. That's the one part of the plan that we want to change and say, you don't have to be baptized. I can just pray. But prayer is not a matter of you being added to the church. Prayer is a matter of being staying in the church.
Amen.
So once you're baptized, then the Bible says you're added to the Lord's church. There you receive the remission of your sins. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is now yours and is able to grow and mature in your life because you stuck to the pattern.
Amen.
And you can help in building the house. So if you're here this morning, desire to be baptized for remission of your sins. We're going to sing a verse of a song. While we sing that song, we encourage you to come forward and to confess this morning that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we have water here.
Amen.
And we'll baptize you this morning and you will be added to the Lord's church. If you desire prayer, we ask you come as well as we together stand and sing our song of encouragement.